Morning, everyone. Welcome back to Leading Off. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. With me, as always, is my producer and hand model, Brendan Tuma, and you can find him on Twitter at TooMuchTuma. There was a lot of interesting stuff yesterday, and we're going to talk about 34% of it in today's episode. Fine, we'll try for a little more than that, but we're on a time constraint, so cut us some slack. We're going to start, as always, with my three biggest takeaways, which are Zach Gallen finally getting the call to the big leagues, Blake Snell struggling and hopefully presenting you with a buy-low opportunity, and Brian Dozier slowly but surely rounding into form. After that, we're going to play a game of Should Have Seen That Coming, and run through some other notable performances, like Lucas Giolito's dud, and some players who went deep twice. And then we're going to look at some major injury news from yesterday, such as Rich Hill, Trevor Story, and Rafael Devers all leaving their respective games with injury, before I tell you what to look out for in today's games. But first, I want to remind you about our June contest. As I mentioned earlier this week, my son and I are going to be going to the Red Sox game this weekend, and as I usually do, I bought my tickets through TickPick. It's super simple, you get a great deal, and it's guaranteed. And as we did in May, for this month, we're giving away $100 in credits for TickPick toward the purchase of any ticket you want. It's not just sporting events either. They've got tickets to concerts, theater, whatever you want. All you need to do to be entered is leave a review for the show on iTunes or Stitcher and send a screenshot of your review to contest@fantasypros.com. That's it. Takes 2 minutes and you can win money toward some tickets. All courtesy of our friends at TickPick. Well, we spoke yesterday about how Jordan Yamamoto's stellar outing and Caleb Smith's impending return were conspiring to deprive fantasy owners of Zach Gallen's promotion to the majors. But Pablo Lopez's surprise shoulder strain, which landed the pitcher on the injured list, is an unfortunate development that finally cracks the door open for Gallen to sneak through, which he will today against the Cardinals. Gallen had a decent year in AAA thus far. Just your garden variety 1.77 ERA, 0.71 whip, and 1.12-17 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 91 and a third innings. Now the thing is, Gallen wasn't really dominating in AAA prior to this year. He had a 3.65 ERA and 1.47 whip last year in 25 starts at that level. So you never heard of him before this year, and unless you're Brendan, whose entire life revolves around trying to get me to talk about prospects on the show, that's really okay. And the thing was, it wasn't as if he was some really hyped prospect that was underperforming. He was kind of who we expected him to be. But he saw a big uptick in velocity this year, and it has obviously translated into his numbers. And remember, his great numbers this year were in the PCL, where if you're at like a 4 ERA, you're essentially doing well. This is the type of call-up that you're really excited about, and you should be. But remember that we have no idea how Gallen will do right now, and his success in the minors has gone on for a very limited amount of time. And we don't even know for sure that he's going to be in the rotation for the rest of the season, depending on Lopez's injury and how Yamamoto and Eliezer Hernandez fare. But if he is available, you add him now before this start, zero questions asked. We talked about it when Brendan Rodgers got sent down. You add prospects with this type of potential regardless. Sometimes you get Brendan Rodgers, but sometimes you get Jordan Alvarez. But the times you hit more than make up for the times you miss. I personally am hopeful that you're going to have a mid-rotation starter with Gallen for the rest of the season. I have a couple of close friends with whom I text nightly about baseball, and we are all together in a long-time keeper league. And I'm just going to read a text message one of them sent last night in our group text. Expletive, expletive, Blake Snell. Gotta be dead arm, right? He's complete expletive right now. Am I going to get news of Tommy John surgery or something? Expletive, expletive. Expletive, Harris, you better address this situation on tomorrow's podcast. Expletive. I'll note that I forgave everything except that last expletive. That just felt gratuitous to me. But I mean, take out all those expletives, and that's probably how all sane Snell owners feel, right? Snell allowed 6 runs on 2 hits and 4 walks while recording just 1 out yesterday against the Yankees. So let's get the obvious out of the way. Bad starts happen for every pitcher. The problem, of course, is that Snell has now had subpar starts in 3 of his last 4 outings. And a bigger problem for Snell is that he's now walked 8 batters over his last 3 2/3 innings. Well, bad starts happen, and so do bad stretches of baseball. Now, Snell blamed his start on timid fastball usage, i.e. I wasn't aggressive enough with my fastball. Kevin Cash blamed it on a lack of command with Snell's secondary pitches, i.e. Snell had no idea where the ball was going and was embarrassing himself, and I'm the best manager in baseball, so I can pull him anytime I want. Personally, I am with Cash on this one. I'm right now staring at a visual of Snell's pitches, and of his 39, it looks like roughly 20 of them were nowhere near the strike zone. Not like out of the strike zone. Like me asking my little league team full of 5-year-old kids to try to throw me the ball out of the strike zone. Snell's velocity was fine, and without word of an injury, you just gotta kinda write this one off. You should still start Snell next, even against the Twins. Baseball is a really hard game. Even the best struggle. Brian Dozier was justifiably dismissed after his utterly abysmal start to the season. Dozier batted 184 with a 634 OPS in March and April. Now he improved to a 233 average with a 689 OPS in May. And entering yesterday's action, he was batting 310 with a 1002 OPS in June. And in yesterday's doubleheader, he went 3-for-7 with 2 homers and 4 RBI. Yeah, last year was abysmal, but Dozier was pretty open about playing through a knee injury all year. And let's ignore most of the StatCast data and underlying metrics this year because they encapsulate Dozier's awful start. Let's just do some pretty basic analysis here. In March and April, Dozier has a career 220 batting average and 680 OPS. In May, he has a career 236 batting average and a 723 OPS. In June, he has a career 264 batting average and an 835 OPS. His career OPS jumps by about 43 points in the second half of the season. So yeah, maybe Dozier, who now has 12 home runs all of a sudden, was just off to his typical slow start. The second base position really stinks, really. Or like my good friend would say, it is expletive, 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 and also expletive. If you need power and can afford a bit of an average hit, Dozier is a fine player to plug in at the position, and he is just 46% owned. Alright, let's play a little game of should have seen that coming. Despite breaking his nose the other day, and having a giant black eye, and being questionable for yesterday's start, and the Nationals easily having the option of giving him a giant rest, Max Scherzer not only pitched in the second game of yesterday's doubleheader against the Phillies, but of course, he totally dominated. He threw 7 shutout innings, allowing just 6 base runners and striking out 10. He had 24 swinging strikes. We never talk about Max Scherzer because he is the best pitcher in baseball. But this was uber impressive even for him. The next time you're working out and feel tired or like you want to quit, Google a picture of Scherzer's face from last night. You'll instantly feel like you can knock down a wall. Scherzer's going to take on the Marlins next, like you cared. We also don't talk about Mike Trout, who hit 2 home runs and drove in 7 yesterday, or Christian Yelich, who hit his major league leading 27th home run yesterday, very often. Because they are so incredibly good that anything they do, absent getting injured, is kind of irrelevant. But I have created this segment of Should Have Seen That Coming just so we could talk about guys like Scherzer and Trout and Yelich. You're welcome. There's no takeaway here. You can't trade either guy under any circumstance. Done. Zach Davies accelerated what had been a slow walk to regression yesterday, allowing 5 runs on 9 hits and 3 walks over 2 1/3 innings against the Padres. Davies is 68% owned, which, despite his solid numbers, was surprising to me, given that he was basically the biggest regression candidate of all time. Now, we're not going to go through the reasons why you shouldn't be starting Davies anymore. But you shouldn't be starting Davies anymore. If you like to ignore my advice, you can start him against the Mariners next. Josh Donaldson homered again yesterday, which you should have seen coming by now. He now has 6 homers in his last 9 games. I hope you held on to him. And Patrick Corbin bounced back after allowing a season-high 7 runs in his last start against the White Sox. He allowed just 1 run on 4 hits and 3 walks with 8 strikeouts in a win over the Phillies. This is what you should have expected. Despite his slump, Corbin was, for the most part, fine. The 3 walks aren't great, and that's 10 in his last 3 games. But these are the ups and downs of a season, my friends. You are more than permitted to make minor changes in your rest of season outlooks when a player struggles, but try not to get overly concerned. There were some other notable performances from yesterday. including several hitters with two homer games, such as Wilson Contreras, Domingo Santana, Rowdy Tellez, and Jason Kipnis. You already know that Contreras is one of the best catchers in the game, and that Kipnis is not really fantasy relevant. But although Santana's season was largely based on his really hot start, he is now up to 15 homers and 54 RBI. His strikeout rate is way too high, but he probably deserves a little more love in fantasy circles. As for Tellez, he's quietly up to 13 homers now, and he should continue to see everyday playing time for the Blue Jays with Justin Smoke on the shelf. He's relevant in deeper leagues if you need power. Lucas Giolito finally hit a little hiccup against the Cubbies last night. Giolito, who had allowed one earned run over his last three starts combined, was tagged for 6 runs on 7 hits and 3 walks over 4 1/3 innings. He struck out 9 at least, and remember what we just said about Corbin. Outings like this happen to all pitchers. It was bound to happen to Giolito at some point, especially on a rainy, kind of gross night. Just write it off and start him against the Red Sox next. There was a lot of significant injury news last night. Rich Hill left last night's start against the Giants with left forearm discomfort. If his fantasy owners were watching, they were undoubtedly hoping that this was just a blister issue, since Hill looked great in the first inning and then returned for the second to warm up before being lifted. Forearm discomfort is just kind of the worst thing you want to hear as a pitcher, so all we can do as fantasy owners is brace ourselves for bad news. The Dodgers, as always, have an abundance of options, including Ross Stripling and Julio Urias, who is actually going to start as the opener in today's game and who would need to get stretched out if he was going to start consistently. In the meantime, hope that this is something minor for Hill and that you can squeeze out another 50 good innings from him. Trevor Story left last night's game against the Diamondbacks with what appeared to be a hand injury after sliding into second base. As of the time of this recording, we do not have word on the exact injury, but if you went to bed early last night, there should hopefully be more today on it. Pat Valeika replaced Story at shortstop, but if Story needs to miss significant time, we could see the return of Garrett Hampson or Brendan Rodgers. Rafael Devers was removed from yesterday's game against the Twins with hamstring tightness. Devers went first to third on a base hit, slowed up, was visited by a trainer, and immediately left the game. If he has to miss time, Eduardo Nunez and Brock Holt should both see increased playing time. But the early indications are that this should not require an injured list stint. Adalberto Mondesi missed yesterday's game against the Mariners with tightness in his right groin, and he's day-to-day. And Garrett Cooper was a late scratch on Wednesday because of a sore left triceps. There's no reason to think that these are serious injuries as of right now, so hopefully both Cooper and Mondesi return soon. Jose Altuve returned from the injured list, and Yoan Moncada, Jay Bruce, and JT Realmuto returned from their respective injuries. And Dwight Smith Jr. is expected to return from the concussion injured list today. But it's not all good news for the Orioles, as Trey Mancini left yesterday's game against the A's after being hit by a pitch on his elbow. X-rays were negative, but Mancini may miss a game or two. Mike Moustakas missed yesterday's game after being hit by a pitch in his left hand the day before. Moustakas appeared as a pinch hitter and walked, so he should be fine going forward. Marwin Gonzalez was placed on the injured list with a strained hamstring. I haven't seen any details as to when this occurred, but right now it does not sound like a major injury, and he shouldn't need to miss much more than the minimum time. Yandy Diaz was placed on the 10-day injured list also with a hamstring injury. The Rays right now do not envision this being a long-term stay. It is likely that Joey Wendell would see additional playing time. Sean Newcomb was placed on the 7-day concussion injured list. Newcomb said he felt fine after being hit in the head by a line drive over the weekend, but that is why you wait with concussions. Symptoms can develop later on. Newcomb was not slated to start again this week, so owners are not missing out, but let's hope that he recovers well. And Mike Clevinger is now questionable for Saturday's start against the Tigers with that ankle injury that we discussed yesterday. There's not much you can do here. If Clevinger is able to make that start, you throw him out there. And some final notes about some promotions. Chris Paddock is going to be recalled and start on Saturday against the Pirates. Paddock is going to wind up getting the minimum 10 days of rest, and this should hopefully allow him to move past the 12 earned runs he had allowed in his last 14 1/3 innings. Assuming that you are able to, you should start Paddock on Saturday and forevermore. And Adbert Alzolay will be promoted for the Cubs and backup Tyler Chatwood today out of the bullpen. Alzolay has been excellent in AAA, and even though he won't start here, add him if you can before this game. If Chatwood struggles, Alzolay could be a starter in Kyle Hendricks' absence. As for what I will be watching for today, I don't understand. Were you listening to the start of this podcast? Why would you just tune in at the end? That makes no sense. It's Zach Allen against the Cardinals, obviously. If he does poorly, I might just cancel Friday's show, just so you guys have some skin in the game to root for him along with me. And that is all for today's episode of Leading Off. I'm at DanHarris80, and Brendan is at TooMuchTuma on Twitter, as you surely know. Reach out. We are friendly. Well, I am. Brendan is kind of a jerk. Have a great day, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow.